Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Zach's Tech Talk Tuesday. My name is Ryan McQueenie, and on this week's show, I want to touch on the big sell-off we saw yesterday, what caused it, and what the heck this intellectual property issue between the U.S. and China is. U.S. stocks moved sharply lower on Monday after fresh reports from the weekend suggested President Trump is ready to escalate his trade war with China even further. This all really started from a Wall Street Journal report on Sunday, which said that Trump plans to block Chinese companies from making investments in American tech and would like to bar additional tech exports to China. And this, of course, follows last week's news that the president asked trade reps to draft a list of additional Chinese goods worth up to $200 billion to impose tariffs on. The Dow and the S&P 500 both moved about 1.7% lower, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ led the losers and dropped about 2.5%. Now, this is Zach's Tech Talk Tuesday, so we're obviously interested in what is causing this volatility in tech. And I want to answer this question by looking back at what I just mentioned, the latest in what Trump wants to do in this ongoing saga with China. The news over the weekend centered on Chinese tech companies and tech-related exports to China, which means after focusing for months on industrials and manufacturing, the Trump administration is finally zeroing in on China's technology sector, and that's likely a response to something we've actually been talking about for years when we talk about China, which is intellectual property theft. China opened up its markets to global businesses a few decades ago, but ever since then, the Asian behemoth has attempted to give its own domestic businesses a competitive advantage over their foreign competitors, not just in the tech side, but certainly in tech whenever possible. One of the ways Beijing tries to do this is through a simple rule. If you want access to the Chinese market and its 1.4 billion citizens, you have to be prepared to hand over your proprietary technology to Chinese business partners first. Literally, if you want to go and do business in China, you have to have a Chinese business partner and you have to share your tech with them. Add this practice to the shadier side of things, which is the common goings-ons that simply aren't enforced by Chinese officials, such as counterfeiting famous brands and actually straight up stealing trade secrets, hacking into businesses' computer frameworks and actually committing digital theft. And it's clear that doing tech-related business in China is just not always going to be on a level playing field, if ever, actually. It's really tough to gauge exactly how big of an effect this has, but recent estimates from the Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property, that's again the Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property, estimates that annual costs from the loss of IP property, losses from the loss of IP total anywhere from $225 billion to $600 billion. Again, it's tougher then to say, what are Chinese businesses contributing to that incredibly wide range there? But we do know earlier this year, a survey conducted by the American Chamber of Commerce in China found that about half of members reported leakage of IP was a larger concern when doing business in China than anywhere else. Another thing to think about here is that China is technically straight up violating WTO policies. That quid pro quo, give us tech secrets for the ability to sell gold goods in our country type of deal that we just talked about is explicitly banned by the WTO. And so on the ground level, that's actually going on in secret. You know, the reason that causes a problem is because Chinese companies then get to skip out on all the R&D costs associated with developing new technology. They get to jump straight into the final product of what the R&D has produced. Plus, they're already doing business in their domestic market, so the costs associated with breaking into a new market, building a new infrastructure, marketing your goods in a foreign market, all of those things are not as prevalent for the Chinese businesses competing against foreign competitors. So what that means at the end of the day is they get to price their goods a lot lower than, say, an American company trying to come in and do business would be able to. And so when you are an American company coming over and you have to hand over your secrets and then the Chinese competitors immediately undercut you on price, It's incredibly difficult to do business in the market, even though there is 1.4 billion citizens and it's one of the largest economies in the world. And it's a lucrative market with tons of customers, a growing middle class, definitely something an American tech company wants to have a firm grasp on. It's just straight up difficult to compete. Sometimes this means a good product will face a really solid competitor. And I want to use the example of Apple. So Apple obviously sells a ton of iPhones in China, has a little bit of trouble competing with many Chinese phone manufacturers because they get to price their, they have the ability to price their phones at a lower cost. And at this point, you know, there are a handful, you know, if not dozens of smartphone manufacturers that can produce a similar product to the iPhone. I'm going to set aside all arguments about whether the iPhone is the superior smartphone on the market and just say, feature to feature, you can get pretty darn close to an iPhone for much less money. That's true in America, but it's also very true in China. And so we've seen Apple really struggle to kind of compete against those Chinese smartphone manufacturers. There's also something going on where the Chinese government can make it incredibly difficult for a company like Apple to operate how it normally does through different types of censorship laws. So we know that like Apple's book marketplace, for example, basically just doesn't even operate in China anymore because the restrictions that were applied to it simply eliminated all functionality, essentially. And that, as an option, was replaced by a Chinese version. And so that's another example of how the Chinese government might kind of make the playing field unlevel. And then the third thing that goes on, which is kind of a weird stereotype that we have over here, but it does happen, is that kind of straight up copyright infringement, stealing the whole look, the whole design, the whole brand aesthetic. You know, you've heard those stories about fake Apple stores in China that for all intents and purposes look exactly like a regular Apple store, kind of tricking customers into walking inside and thinking that they're dealing with Apple products when they are in fact not. That's how it worked. That might be how it works with Apple. And on the tech side of things, it might just be building these consumer electronics that look exactly like their American competitor. You know, we've obviously known for decades, there's a big kind of underground market in fashion and apparel where they're taking these copyrighted brands and coming up with these cheap knockoffs. And it's kind of this whole cottage industry. I think, you know, people see that as like a fun, quirky little thing that happens on the side streets when you go visit China and you can get this fake Coach bag for a dollar or whatever. But the environment that is fostering that and allowing that to go on is the same that is allowing these multinational corporations to really struggle to protect their intellectual property. And that's creating a really serious competitive disadvantage from that, you know, kind of 10,000 foot view in that kind of meta perspective. Now, I don't want this to be an entire podcast where I'm just railing on China. And I certainly do not necessarily think that a tit-for-tat trade war is the way that we respond to an intellectual property issue. I think, you know, as we've discussed here, as we've discussed on the Friday Finish Line, as we've discussed elsewhere on Zacks.com, as all of our great strategists have really jumped into, I don't think a tit-for-tat trade war between the U.S. and China and the U.S. and other economic allies is really something that is a good idea with where we are in the global economic growth cycle. I think we're looking at synchronous global economic growth in all of our major economies, and this is really the only thing standing in the way of that. I don't necessarily see a benefit for the consumer with the way that this is playing out, tariff versus tariff. However, when we bring up intellectual property theft, and we bring up just this, even if you don't want to call it intellectual property theft, this IP issue that is really the elephant in the room for everyone, because I think regardless of how you feel about these tariffs, we can agree that this is an issue that needs to be tackled, and I'm not sure there is a simple solution right now. And it's going to be used as kind of a weapon in this, in these ongoing trade discussions, or whatever you want to call it, a trade war at this point. It really is going to be a topic that we focus on here. And so that's why I wanted to cover it today, just to explain what people mean when they're talking about IP theft, when they're talking about the intellectual property issue. These are some of the themes that they're trying to get at here, and it's important to remember that this is going on. As a reminder, if you feel that we missed something, or if you want us to cover a different story, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. Make sure to check out all of our other audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. And remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We're also now available on Spotify. Search Zacks Investment Research there, and you should be able to find all of our shows. As always, thank you guys so much for listening to the Zacks Tech Talk Tuesday show. We will see you next time.